Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Go to the kgov.com website, click on the store, look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products, or give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the Sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more, get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. We picked the shortest month of the year, February, so we're already running out of time. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host here at Bob Enyart Live. We were deplorable before deplorable was cool. The most important thing to talk about today is Denver's own Neil Gorsuch and the two vital questions that should be asked first. These should be asked and answered. These two questions are far more revealing, more significant than any kind of culture of life type statement that Gorsuch may have made, and that even perhaps Mitt Romney or John McCain might have made. And these two questions are far more important and informative than some of what is being passed around the internet to pro-lifers. For example, that paragraph from Judge Gorsuch when he references a footnote in Roe v. Wade that, along with the entire opinion, was written by a Republican judge and explains to his readers, Judge Gorsuch explains what that footnote means. So explaining what a footnote means is an artful way of talking about a moral issue without revealing your own value system, or how you would protect or not protect that unborn child. So comments like that we could glean from this judge's writings are not a substitute for understanding where Neil Gorsuch stands on innocent life in the womb, unborn boys and girls. However, there are two fundamental questions to get to the heart of the matter that you will hear here, right here on this program. If you hear these questions anywhere else, please let me know. Email me at bob@kgov.com, bob@kgov.com. Let me know. I would love to find out, because I'm saddened to think that almost no one in the media or in any position of leadership who presents themselves as caring about the unborn. I mean, the Denver Archbishop, the head of Focus on the Family, the president of National Right to Life, perhaps even your pastor. I'm saddened to think that almost no one in a position of influence or leadership who presents themselves as caring about the unborn will ask these questions or even care enough to know that these questions should be asked and answered. So here are the questions, and after we talk about them for a bit, I need to share with you two other things. One, about Airbnb, you know, that wildly popular bed and breakfast app. You could reserve a place to stay wherever, almost all around the world. I've used it in Europe and on the West Coast, all in my travels. Well, my Airbnb account has been canceled. It was just canceled. And over what else? What issue? Well, of course, homosexuality. How's that? Just like my Facebook page was closed. Just like all these big internet giants have a hatred of conservative Christians, of anyone promoting a biblical worldview. And two, I'd like to update you on our annual February telethon with our vital $30,000 goal, which is just now getting started in earnest with today being February 1st, 2017. And when you hear these questions, if you want to call in to discuss them or Neil Gorsuch, feel free to do so. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. You might want to jot it down so you hear these questions, and you could call 1-800-836-9278. First question, Judge Gorsuch, regarding the right to life, when do we acquire that right to life? That's the first question that I think Sean Hannity will not ask and would not want anyone to ask or bring up. First question, Judge Gorsuch, regarding the right to life, when do we acquire that right to life? Now, there's a better way to ask even that question, but that wording right there might work. But the better way to ask it is this: regarding the right to life endowed to us by our Creator, when does each of us acquire that right to life? At what point do we each acquire the right to life? Question two. When you have said, Judge Gorsuch, that every judge should ignore his personal values and instead follow the Constitution and the law as written, what are the limits to that? That principle that you espouse. What are the limits? And then the questioner could provide a couple of examples from our history and from recent history where such limits might have applied, like when a judge should uphold the law and ignore his own beliefs. So I'll repeat those two questions, and then I'd like to talk through them more. And again, our phone number, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we're in the hearing, the Senate confirmation hearing, and you are a Christian. Let's say you're Ted Cruz, and you care about the unborn child, and you want to stop the killing of unborn children. And you know what's happened so far in our history, and we can name every Republican nominated by Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush, every single one who was nominated. When he was nominated, a cheer went up. Everyone who was confirmed, a cheer went up throughout the Christian community, throughout the pro-life community. This is a pro-life judge, and we need this judge will help save our nation. And here we are now, from 1980, when Ronald Reagan was elected, to 2017. We're talking almost 40 years later. And every single one of those judges, every single one, according to law professor Charles Rice from Notre Dame, every one of our justices who we cheered and we lobbied and we spent literally tens or hundreds of millions of dollars to get confirmed, Professor Charles Rice said to us here at Bob and Yurt Live, and we included this in our documentary, Focus on the Strategy, which you could see on our YouTube channel. Just go to kgov.com, kgov.com, click on our YouTube channel, and you will see right there the documentary, Focus on the Strategy. Professor Rice, law professor from Notre Dame, said every one of our judges that we put on the bench that are Republican, conservative, original intent, pro-life, every one of them agrees with the central holding of Roe v. Wade that the unborn child does not have a right to life. Every one of them. everyone. So when Sandra Day O'Connor was nominated, when Samuel Alito was nominated, when Antonin Scalia was nominated, who, by the way, rejected that the unborn child has a right to life. When Judge Bork was nominated, remember him? He was never confirmed. Instead, he was borked. And he wrote a book called Slouching Toward Gomorrah. And in his book, he says that the Democrats were up in a rage that he was nominated because they wanted to make sure they could continue to perform abortions. And he said, I was pro-abortion. I was pro-abortion. Why were they upset with me? And so the pro-lifers at the time who were so oblivious to the actual battle that we're in, and they reduce it to a battle, a partisan battle between Republicans and Democrats. And so they think that's it. They think that when a Republican wins, we've won another battle against abortion. And when he nominates judges and we get them confirmed, that means we stop the killing of unborn children. And they lie to one another and say, we're winning. We're winning. That's what Mike Pence said on the Mall at the march last week. We're winning the battle for life. Well, tell that to the million children who were slaughtered by Planned Parenthood last year. Tell that to those 1 million children, almost a million killed by surgical abortion. And then how about the hundreds of thousands who were killed by chemical abortifacients like Plan B, the morning after pill? The chemical pesticides. That's what the liberals think of them as. The chemical weapons of mass destruction, where hundreds of thousands, and the number could be a million or more children every year aborted by chemical weapons. And somehow the Republican Party and National Right to Life and Focus on the Family and the Heritage Foundation and Fox News, they find it convenient to forget about all those kids who are killed. They're just killed younger and cheaper and more silently, but they're killed, and their mothers are responsible before God just the same, and those kids are devastated just the same. So there are many people who want to be lied to, many people, and they want to cheer for their team. And if their quarterback is accused of committing some kind of an assault against a woman on campus, say college football, she's a liar. She's a liar. And when it's the other team, let's say Nebraska Cornhuskers, and their quarterback is accused of raping a woman, he's a dog. Isn't that something? If it's your team, she's a liar. And if it's the other team, he's a dog. And that exact thing happens in Republican Party and pro-life politics. And people want to be lied to. They want to be lied to. So when, and we have been lied to, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Only Christians, pro-lifers, they want to be lied to every time. They don't want to find out if their judge really is against child killing. They don't want to find out because they want to beat the Democrats, because it's delicious to see the Democrats apoplectic and squirm over Donald Trump getting one of his nominees confirmed. It's delicious to see them enraged. It's so pleasurable. And I don't want to deny myself of the pleasure of beating the Democrats yet again. I don't want to deny myself of that pleasure. So don't bother me with whether or not Judge Gorsuch thinks that an unborn child has a right to life. Bob, just shut up. Stop raining on our parade. We're having a party here. We're enjoying ourselves. And this has happened, guys. We've been on the air for going on 26 years now. Every time, with every nomination, every judge, when the pro-life movement lies and they say George W. Bush just nominated 20 pro-life judges to the federal judiciary, and they just lie, and the whole pro-life movement celebrates, and they all lie to one another, and they want to be lied to. So let me repeat these two questions, and then we could talk through them more. And again, the phone number, 1-800-836-9278. It spells out my last name, Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So, first question in the confirmation hearing. Actually, Donald Trump should have asked this, but he did not. And his pro-life advisors should have asked this, but they did not. And we should know this for years, but we do not. First question, Judge Gorsuch, in this confirmation hearing, regarding the right to life, at what point do we acquire that right to life? Or even better yet, regarding the right to life endowed to us by our Creator, at what point does each of us acquire that right to life? You know, and that form is even better, because he might think that our rights come from the government. And if he thinks that, he might have gotten it from Focus on the Family or National Right to Life or any other conservative group, because they constantly talk about your First Amendment right, your Second Amendment right, your Third Amendment right, which if you hear somebody say that, just slap them. Anybody, I give you permission. It's a fatwad. I'm issuing a fatwad. No, I'm only kidding. So if you hear someone say, well, this is my First Amendment right. No, it's the First Amendment recognizes your God-given right. And because millions of people think that their rights come from the government, you shouldn't reinforce that by speaking like an ignorant person. Don't be a fool. You know, in the Bible, God gets upset with fools. And he says, fools hate correction. So don't misdirect people to think that your rights come from the government or from the Constitution or from the majority. Because if that were true, then the majority could take away the rights of the minority. And then the Germans could kill the Jews and the Americans could own the blacks as long as they're in the minority. And if the rights come from the Constitution, then the majority could change the Constitution, sort of make it like it was originally, and say, you know, if a black man is owned by a white man and he escapes to another state, you have to return him. If the rights come from the Constitution or from the government or from the majority. So in a way, it's better even to ask that first question regarding the right to life. At what point do we acquire that right to life? Or regarding the right to life endowed to us by our Creator, at what point does each of us acquire that right to life? And I suspect, though I have not scoured many years of the writings of Judge Gorsuch, I suspect that no one knows the answer to that question, how he would answer. And if he says that, well, the right to life comes when you're born, or it comes from when you're viable, or it comes after the Roe v. Wade opinion, which is now settled law, after the first trimester, then the states could regulate that. If he answers in any of those ways, he's not qualified, because he will advocate and regulate and defend the intentional killing of the innocent. And so then we would know that we could expect, if he gets confirmed, another 30, 40 years with his influence of abortion continuing to be legal in America. So we should all want to know. We should all want to know, but Sean Hannity doesn't want to know. And James Dobson, I know he now has a different radio show than Focus on the Family, but they don't want to know. And National Right to Life doesn't want to know. And you know why they've said, when we've pressed them, we've been on the air for over a quarter of a century, and even before that, when we have pressed them to say, why don't you want to know? Here's their answer. When John Roberts was being confirmed at his hearings, and he was asked about Roe v. Wade, and he said, Roe v. Wade is settled law. When he said that, that'd be like saying killing the Jews is settled law, or lynching blacks, or blacks are property, that's settled law. That's the wrong answer, and it's immoral. Well, when he said that, the pro-life leaders told their minions, he's only lying to you. He's lying so that he could get confirmed. Every single confirmation cycle, we are told that the reason the pro-life judge doesn't acknowledge that he believes the child has a right to life is because he's lying to get confirmed. And then we point out, actually, he's lying to the pro-lifers. He's telling the truth to the pro-aborts. He's lying to get your support. He's telling them the truth. And that has been upheld every justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, and I think every justice in the entire federal judiciary. We had nominated 60% of the federal judiciary, and it was overwhelmingly pro-abortion by the time George W. Bush left office. So question two, let's hold on that off on that for a moment, and Airbnb too, let's hold off on that, and go to Littleton, Colorado. Gordon, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on your statement about how when we see the liberals react to the appointments or to the defeat of their, like Hillary Clinton and things like that, how we find it delicious. And I have to confess that that is absolutely true. I know on election night, I was so thankful that Hillary wasn't elected.
Yeah,
however,
right.
I was also so saddened that Trump was.
Well, what a great point, Gordon, to put it that way, because I acknowledge it was delicious to see the liberals becoming apoplectic.
It was. You're
yes.
Right. And it is.
Yes.
And it's something we have to fight in ourselves to be able to stay on the right playing field and understand that just because we're glad that they're upset, we're not happy that our side's doing the bad thing. And that's tough to do sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so vital if we want to remain moral and rational and not think with our emotions.
Right.
And so if Donald Trump does something that's good and moral, well, then that's wonderful. And if he does something that's immoral, like the Mexico City policy affirms using federal dollars to kill some innocent children, so already by today, some children around the world could have been killed with tax dollars by the authority of Donald Trump. That's
right.
Tragic. It doesn't help us to lie and to deceive people about that reality.
No, and that's a typical type of lie that they give the pro-lifers, which is very much like the partial birth abortion ban. Mm.
Yeah, very much so.
Which when I talk to so many Christians, they all think, oh, well, you know how many babies we save by stopping the partial birth abortion ban? And you know, you have to go on and explain not one baby has ever been saved from that. And really, it just makes it more disgusting than it was before, if that's possible.
Right, if that's possible. Exactly.
So
Gordon, I just wanted to say
thanks for bringing up that comment about the deliciousness, because that really does peg it exactly right. And
it's
hard for us to keep on an even keel when we do enjoy that part of it.
Well, thank you so very much for your call.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you. 1-800-8-NYART, and by the way, that's the same phone number for the telethon, 1-800-836-9278. So, question two. Judge Gorsuch, when you've said that every judge should ignore his personal values and instead follow the Constitution and the law as written, what are the limits to that? What are the limits? And I'd like to give you two examples, from one from our history and the other from more recent history, where some such limits should have been applied. So, these two examples, Judge Gorsuch, perhaps you can address these in your answer about what limits might there be regarding a judge's obligation to follow man's law. First, the U.S. Constitution initially incorporated slavery into our form of government, including the Fugitive Slave Clause, Article 4, Section 2, which ordered that a slave who escaped to another state be returned to his owner. And you recall the Dred Scott opinion and that blot on America's history when the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Roger B. Taney, stated that this one man, slave Dred Scott, had to be returned to his, quote, owner, for Scott was, quote, chattel or the property of his owner, and he had to be returned. So the U.S. Supreme Court, in their majority opinion, they denied that Scott had the right to liberty, which is actually a God-given right to liberty. By denying him his liberty for the consequence of his black skin, denying him his inalienable right to liberty, they brought a blot on our history. And that was a crime against humanity. Would you have followed the law and the Constitution even when they are grotesquely immoral? And the second example from more recent history, but in Europe, is the killing of the Jews for punishment, even for accusations as minor as hoarding eggs. You spoke about Antonin Scalia and that you and he advocate the same principle that judges must set aside their own beliefs and uphold man's law. So Scalia was asked in a Q&A at Pepperdine University Law School, well, then what would have happened if you were a judge in Germany during the 1930s and 40s? And his answer, well, then I guess I would have been tried at Nuremberg. That's your hero. Antonin Scalia, by your principle of ignoring your values and applying the law, said if he was a judge in Germany, he would have been tried at Nuremberg, meaning he would have upheld the laws, the immoral, unjust laws that killed the Jews. Is that really how far you would take that regarding the owning of blacks or the killing of Jews or the dismembering of unborn children if it's the law? How far do you take that principle? Are you really a moral relativist and a legal positivist? Or do you know where to draw the limits of such philosophy? So those are the two questions. I'll have to save for later the story of why Airbnb canceled my account. And also our telethon. We're off to a great start. The goal is $30,000. We need your help. 800-8-NYARD. May God bless you.